Good evening. Glad to see everyone back on this beautiful Lord's Day. I'd like to welcome any guests if we have any. Glad to have you. Many people will go to a doctor for a physical checkup. Now, of course, most men, we don't like the doctor. That's just how it is. But it is good to go get a physical checkup from time to time. Of course, they check the heart, blood pressure, cholesterol, and just overall health. Why is that? Well, because they want to know if something is wrong before it's too late. If you catch certain illnesses in time, they can be treated and you can overcome it. You catch something too late, it may be the end. While people often examine their physical health and stay on top of their physical health, they forget to check themselves spiritually and the condition that their soul is in. Paul tells the Corinthians here to test yourselves, examine yourselves. This is not a suggestion, this is a command that Paul's giving. Every Christian must honestly examine him or herself to see whether they are truly living in the faith. It's important that we make sure we examine ourselves, not just once a week, twice a week, daily, that we are living in the faith, that we are truly doing what God has called us to do. And so, we need to examine whether you are in the faith. The faith is the gospel system revealed by Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? In Jude 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, exhorting that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. The faith that we see mentioned here in Jude 3 is not man-made doctrine. It is not denominational tradition. It is not personal opinion. It is the once-for-all delivered gospel of Christ. The faith which Christ came and taught his disciples, who would become his apostles, and then they would make known the mysteries of the gospel. That very faith is a new, once again, to the world then was a new concept. But now, for us today, we have the once for all faith before us. The inspired word of God that shows us what the true faith is, what the truth is. So we must examine whether we have obeyed the gospel. Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. We see in Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Do we obey? That's how we honestly know whether we are in the faith, whether we are living for Christ. A person cannot honestly say he is in Christ while rejecting what he commands. And a lot of people do that with a lot of these false teachings. They want Christ and they want the blessings without the obedience, without all of his commands. They nitpick what they want to do. They nitpick what they want to believe. That's a huge problem. Once again, we are called to follow all that Christ has commanded. We must examine whether we are continuing in the faith as well. Once again, we don't just stop at obedience. Once we have believed and obeyed, we must remain faithful. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. But now he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So we must ask ourselves, am I truly living by the gospel, or am I only wearing the name Christian? If we're just going through the motions, then are we still remaining faithful? Are we still remaining in the faith? We're just going through the motions. We're not giving God 100%. We're giving him the scraps, or we may not even be giving him the scraps. And so, once again, am I truly living by the gospel, the very book that we have in our hands tonight? Or am I just simply wearing a name badge, Christian? We need to examine whether Christ is truly in us. We know that Christ dwells in us through faith. And we see that 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love. And so, Galatians 2:20, we went over this morning, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Christ dwelling in us means he has taken residence in our lives. He's a part of who we are. You know, I think about people who are big fans of a show or a movie. I know with my generation, well, it happened later in the 2000s. You had the show Friends, you had the show The Office. People make shows like that a part of their personality, a part of who they are. And that's why we see so much of the fan base become so, the word slipped from my mind, become so, I want to say erratic, but I don't know if that's even a word. I'll just say they become so obsessed with a show. It's part of their personality. For us, that's how we are to treat Christ. He is to be everything to us. We should reflect Christ in how we live, how we talk, how we walk, everything we do. If Christ lives in me, self no longer sits on a throne. It's all Christ. Once again, if we have crucified the flesh, if we have truly crucified our old self, it's no longer we who live, it's Christ that lives in us. He sits on that throne. He is in control. Once again, how many of you remember the Carrie Underwood song, Jesus Take the Wheel? I'm sure that song used to be on the radio all the time. Probably still is. But that song, Jesus Take the Wheel, take control of my life. Guide me in every way. We need to do so. Christ in us should produce as well visible fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, so then you will know them by their fruits. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and such things. Against such things there is no law. The evidence of Christ is in us is seen in changed conduct. Once again, when we look at the word repentance, it means change. When we come to Christ and give our life to Christ by believing and obeying, everything about us should change. Now, once again, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Change does take time. It takes maturity. It takes growth. As a Christian, we should seek daily to grow stronger and closer to God through his word, through prayer. And when we fill our minds and hearts with all that there is to do with God, we're going to see that change ourselves, and others will see that change. A person may claim Christ, but if there is no fruit, something is wrong. If we're sowing to the flesh, they will reap what they sow. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. Once again, if we're sowing to the flesh, we're not going to have that fruit that we are told to bear. And once again, in Galatians, Paul points out the fruit of the Spirit and what it is. Christ in us means sin cannot rule us. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? People will take grace and say, I have God's grace, I'm good, I can live the way, continue to live the way I was living. They don't understand fully what the gospel says. Once again, Paul here. May it never be. When we have died and have brought Christ into our life, we are to change. We are to be a different person. If Christ is truly in us, his presence should be seen in our priorities, speech, worship, relationships, and daily decisions. You know, once again, the gospel teaches that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why would Paul say that? Once again, that influence is there in those relationships, because it comes down to, if you love them more than you do Christ, you're going to give in to things you shouldn't. It's going to pull you astray. Hobbies, sports, whatever it may be, once again, if those are your first and only priorities, what are you going to do? Put God on the back burner. You're not going to be a true Christian. You're not going to survive the fight. And if worship's not important, then you're going to miss and continue missing until you finally just quit coming. Once again, if we have truly changed, these things will be more important than anything this world can offer. We must examine. We must examine whether Christ is truly in us. You are to examine yourself by the right standard. The Word of God is the true and right standard. In John chapter 12, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. This very word, this very book that we have, is what we will be judged by. Not any other doctrine, no other tradition outside of any of this. None of that matters. What is here before us will judge us. This is the standard right here. And if you're daily in it and lining yourself up and making sure you're living by the right standard, you're going to be fine, I promise. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, we won't read the whole text. But once again, James is pointing out here, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Why? We're going to forget if we're just hearers. It's like looking at yourself in a mirror, as James brings up the illustration. It's like a natural man who looks at himself in a mirror. What happens once he goes away? He forgets what he looks like. Look at Israel's history. They forgot God's commandments. And what did it cost them? Everything. But doers, don't forget, they do. Not just once a week, twice a week. They do every day, according to what he has called us to do. And so the standard of judgment is not just feelings, traditions, family history, or culture. The Word of Christ, this very book before us, the inspired Word of God, will judge us. And so we must examine ourselves honestly. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. This is the attitude we need as Christians today. Not, Lord, show me what is wrong with everyone else, but Lord, show me what is wrong with me. What's wrong with me? And let me tell you, God will show you. His word will show you. I've stepped on my own toes with my own sermons before. Now, how does that happen? It happens. We must make sure that we are not trying to ask God, what's wrong with everyone else? No, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Because once again, you can't get to heaven on someone else's tailcoat. You are the one that's responsible for you and your salvation. So we must not compare ourselves to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. You know, that's what I hate about social media. And I used to do it as a young teenager as well. We see, you know, all of our friends. It seems like I had one guy. He was a great student in school. He made 4.0 GPA. He was a great ball player. And he went off to WVU, went to college, and then graduated and moved to London. I'll be honest, I was a little jealous. I'm like, man, I'm still stuck in Boone County, West Virginia. But I compared myself to others. That's not the right standard. Do not ask, am I better than others? Ask, am I right with God? Because that's what matters. You know, a lot of people that I graduated with weren't right with God. And still aren't, sadly. And I hope and pray that they come to the knowledge of truth, that someone goes and plants the seed. Wish I could. But once again, the most important thing in our life is that we are comparing ourselves with the Word of God, with the right standard. Not by someone else's standards, but by the right standard, which is the Word of God. You are to examine yourself before it's too late. Like I said this morning, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised next week, next year. He could come back at any moment. Because some will be surprised on judgment. It won't just be the lost, but there are going to be those in the church who will be surprised. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, in your name did we not prophesy? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Christ is not talking about the worldly people, the ones who belong to, he's talking about those who thought they were doing right, the ones who weren't examining themselves with the right standard, making sure that Christ was in them, making sure they were of the true faith. These people include those who are religious. They called Jesus Lord. They did works in his name. But they did not do the will of the Father. We have a lot of people who are religious, religious minded. But that's not it. It's those who do the will of the Father. How do we know what the will of the Father is? Right? Here in the Word of God. But here's good news. God gives us time to repent. He's giving us time right now to do what's right, to repent, to be reconciled to Him, to be restored to the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world brings about death. Only if Judas would have had that godly sorrow. But he didn't. Peter, on the other hand, had godly sorrow, which led him to truly repent and be restored. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray earnestly to the Lord, that if possible, the attention of your heart may be forgiven you. Simon the sorcerer, who believed and obeyed the gospel. But his true heart, his true self showed. by offering to buy this power, which was only given to the apostles through the authority of Christ, through the Holy Spirit. We don't know much what happened. We don't know if he was okay and he changed his ways. We don't know that. But this is Peter's warning to him. Repent of the wickedness that you have done. And pray earnestly to the Lord, that if possible, that you may be forgiven. That the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Self-examination is not meant to drive us to despair. We as human beings like to overcomplicate things. We like to worry. I'll tell you, there have been times in my life that I've kind of questioned. Have I truly been saved? Am I truly in the faith? Guess where that led me? To the Word of God, to the right standard. We can't let it drive us to despair, thinking there's no way I can be perfect. There's no way I can keep up with this. I always like to go back to when Christ talked about faith. You have the faith the size of a mustard seed. I like to remind myself of that because that ensures us that as long as we are doing our best, as long as we are striving to do what God has called us to do, we're going to be okay. He's just. He's right. He will judge correctly. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. That should comfort us very well. In some ways, terrify us too. Can't hide anything. But that should help comfort us in knowing, let me go back to His Word. Let me examine myself. Let me make sure that I am living correctly. This is meant, this self-examination is meant to lead us to one thing, repentance. And so today is the time to get right with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, At the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, not tomorrow, not Monday, or not Tuesday, not next week. Now's the right time. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. There is a dangerous thought that enters into so many minds, and it's this: I will examine myself later, or I'll come to God later. Later may never come. I remember I heard a story. Steve Hingabotham was talking about it. He studied with a guy in the hospital, and the guy said, I need to obey. I need to be baptized. So they were on their way up on the elevator to go to the floor where they could do it. He died once they hit that floor. Now, obviously it's up to God. He knows the right thing. He knows the heart. You have that time now, and God will give you that time to do what's right. Don't neglect. Don't waste it. Make it right tonight. Or if you're not a Christian, I pray and hope that tonight you make that decision to give your life to Christ. Because once you pass, once you take your last breath, there's nothing more any of us can do for you here. Nothing. All we can do is leave it to God. And so tonight's the night to give your life to Christ, to examine yourself and find that hopefully you need to do what's right and give your life to God. Or if you're not right, if you have fallen back into sin, if you were a Christian and have fallen back into sin, now's the time to repent and be reconciled. If you're not a Christian, this is how you do it. This is how you become a Christian. First, you must hear the word and believe that word. Then you must repent of your sins. Once again, means change. Everything about you is going to be changed. You're going to turn back to God. Then you must confess your faith in Christ, not be ashamed of him, but confess him before men, not deny. And then you must be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. It's the only way to make contact with the blood of Christ. Once again, Mark 16:16 is very clear on it. Salvation doesn't come before baptism. It comes after one who has believed and has been baptized. They will be saved. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. And so this evening, if anyone needs any assistance, tonight's the night. Don't wait. Come as we stand and as we sing.